ABC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city needs saving.
What happened to you? The right to remain silent.
I'm in the future.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you really heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
Welcome. You're listening to DC on CW's Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile by downloading the Rain Man Digital app. It's available in the iTunes App Store and Google Play. Simply search Rain Man Digital. All right. Today, we're going to be breaking down and discussing Supergirl Season 3, Episode 11, Fort Roz. Supergirl returns to Fort Roz with some unlikely partners. I'm your host today, Lauren Alexander. I've got Nicole Nance with me.
What's up?
And Bobby Doherty.
Hello, hello.
I don't know why I said it like that.
Yeah,
I'm here too.
Hey, Bobby.
All right, so let's talk some news before we get into the episode. We've got a couple things. Comicbook.com reported that the Kalanorians are reportedly coming to Supergirl, which is interesting. The most famous or most well-known, I suppose, Kalanorian is Despero. He's been around since 1960. But it's not him that we're going to be seeing. It is Finhead, which is a much less cool name.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. I don't know if Finhead is an actual character or not, to be totally honest. I don't believe so. At least not one that we've seen. Maybe. I'm not sure. So she's not something that I've ever seen or encountered, but Finhead will be appearing in Supergirl. She is apparently going to be a very violent threat for the Girl of Steel. She will be a Kalanorian. And they put out a casting call for her, saying, ferocious, terrifying, and aggressive, this gigantic Kalanorian woman with a mohawk faces Supergirl in a violent battle. Stunt actors, fight training, and experience required.
I'm out.
Sorry, yeah, Bob. Too. I mean, same, though. all right, so if you don't know anything about Kalanorians, they are a race of aliens from the planet Kalanor, and are usually characterized by red or purple skin, pointy ears, and a fin-type mohawk.
So we're going to get none of that.
Probably not. We'll see. But, I mean, they're big. They're buff. Like, Despero is a big man thing. Big man alien thing. Man dude. Yeah, they've got kind of, like, fishy, like, they've got a fishy look to their head because there's that big fin mohawk and then the pointy ears, and it kind of looks like fins almost if he's looking at you face on. But I don't know. Comicbook.com speculated that this could summon the arrival of Despero. But honestly, the way we see things happen on the show, I doubt that they're going to have a female villain come in and usher in a larger villain for the Justice League. That's just not generally how the format for this show has worked, you know?
Yeah.
It's if we get a lesser known or a new villain of a race, it generally takes the place of that other one. Because honestly, in this world, Superman might be facing off with Despero, so Supergirl's got her own villain. I don't really think we're going to see him, but you never know. But he does. Despero is the leader of Kalanor, and he has psychic powers, which are granted to him through a third eye. So I don't think we're going to see any psychic abilities from her, but you never know. Maybe that's a possibility. On top of her just being physically aggressive and fearsome.
Just merge them all together.
Yeah, man, whatever. Totally fine, right?
Because nobody knew what a finhead was.
Right.
Like, yeah, she does all this shit.
Yeah, totally, right?
You can't Google it. You can't find her, so tell us you're
all
wrong.
All the above.
You can't prove she doesn't.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah. All right, we have no idea whether this Kalanorian stuff is going to have anything to do with Rain's storyline or with her plot or anything like that. We'll see. We'll see what happens. And then after that, we've got another little thingy here from EW. Supergirl's first look at the second world killer. So we did get that. We got our reveal of our new world killer at the end of this episode. So there's an episode coming up on February 5th where we're going to see Supergirl face off with our second world killer. We find out that her name is Purity, by the way, and she's played by Chris Marshall. So
Purity.
Purity
That's
is
quite an ironic name.
Well, however, that's not a name that's been used for world killers in the past. The other world killers so far have been Rain, Daymax, Flower of Heaven, and Perilous. So I don't know if she's intended to maybe take the place of Flower of Heaven, because that's a very...
That doesn't sound like a cool world killer name.
Doesn't quite roll off the tongue. I'll be fighting Flower of Heaven today.
Doesn't strike intimidation and fear into her foes.
It does not strike fear into my heart, no.
I don't, I'm like, I oh, feel like Purity heaven. Doesn't much either, but I mean, it is better than...
It is better.
Flower of Heaven.
People that are pure are pretty scary. Like, what's wrong with you?
There is something a little scary about Purity when people take it too far, or like trying to pursue it too far. You know what I mean? It can be creepy. It can be weird. Know what
True.
I mean?
Yeah.
What scare me?
We must purify the earth. Nope. No, thank you.
No.
I'm out.
Hard pass.
See? Exactly.
So, all right, fine.
So I don't know. And I'm totally speculating. We could be seeing an entirely new team of... I mean, they are going to be new because they're going to be humanoid from what it looks like. If two of the four or five world killers are so far very humanoid looking, I think it's
fair to assume.
Yeah,
we're not
going to
get the comic book version at all. Mm-hmm.
So maybe... I don't know if we're going to get a Daymax and a Perilous. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think that they're going to stick to those names, but maybe they are. Well,
you'll hear them, like...
We'll find out.
Yeah, it'll be like in the fortress of, you know, Destitute or whatever the hell they're calling it. They'll use their other names.
Yeah.
In our world, you were known as this.
Well, wait, didn't they say, like, Purity and Charity or something was the other... What was the other name?
What?
They said it in the episode. I just can't remember the other name.
I got it down in the notes somewhere.
Where's okay. Well, moving on from that, we'll get back to that in a second. But so we do with this reveal and all of that stuff, and
there it is.
Talking about it. We'll see what's going to happen with that. But we also find out that the big battle is going to take place during the February 5th episode, which is marking the final episode before the show's long hiatus.
Which is the mid-season spring season.
Which undoubtedly has everything to do with Andrew Kreisberg getting fired.
Yes.
And them having to replace him as a showrunner. And
this is happy Kreisberg day.
Oh, God.
Look what you did.
Look what you've done.
What it really was like the quarter season finale, and this is the other quarter.
We get three or four episodes, and then back to... God damn it, guys.
Back to vacation
like four
mode
episodes.
For me.
Well, and for anyone that watches Legends of Tomorrow, that is when Legends of Tomorrow is coming back. So Legends will be coming back that following Monday after February 5th, and that will air for 9 weeks in Supergirl's time slot until Supergirl comes back on April 16th.
I hate it.
So we have a whole like 2 months without Supergirl
for them to scramble.
That is ridiculous.
I'm gonna be so depressed. Just saying.
It's frustrating, but we do get a first look at in this article, if you want to see another picture of Purity, she's not in a costume. She doesn't have anything cool like that, but she's definitely got Supergirl in a chokehold.
Got a chastity belt on.
Yeah, come on. What? Stop it.
Oh, not that.
All right,
yet.
Did we figure out what the other name is? Is it Chastity?
I don't know why Chastity came into mind.
Well, you said Charity, and then he said Chastity just now, so I don't
know. It says the others will awake, the power, the pestilence, the purity.
It just sounds like nicknames.
They're like the four horsemen of...
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Basically, they're like the four horsemen of the apocalypse, but Krypton style.
Biddly, biddly, biddly. Rain and the three P's, apparently.
Sometimes,
it's a band name.
Sometimes rain causes peas.
All right, with that, let's take a quick break.
You know, for a place that caters to aliens, they have some pretty good chicken wing.
How do you know that's chicken?
DC on CW.
Hey, ass butt.
Hope somebody. Kaya chooses to help Jack and Sam and Dean.
Well, does she really choose to? I mean, you put a gun to someone's head.
Get in the car.
But yeah. After that point, it was after that point.
Shoot you in the face, bitch.
And the thing is, if you notice, she wasn't.
Do our mouths get like.
That's what Dean did.
He get angry. He gritted his teeth. He got so gangster, dude. I was waiting for her to turn the gun sideways.
Turn the gun sideways. You in the face, motherfucker.
I told you. Get in your ass.
I see you to get in that car, motherfucker.
So, all right.
Dean got black there for a second.
Oh, my God. Anyway, Jesus, Ryan.
Sorry.
Apocalypse. That's like another world. All the characters
dude,
are black.
That would be amazing, dude.
Black Sam.
The Django world.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Django world.
That'd be amazing, dude. I would watch it. That's like, on BET. Hey, it's like Supernatural on BET.
I'd like to see that. An entire black cast of Hunters.
But the Impala has 22s on it.
Dude, that'd be sweet.
Oh, my God. All right. You two need to write that later.
The Friday version of Supernatural.
Oh, my God.
Dude, that'd be amazing.
Oh, my God.
You got knocked the fuck out.
He's talking to a Wendy.
Mickey Mouse is there, apparently.
Dude, that's...
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And a horn from a car? I don't even know what the fuck that was.
Thomas is getting annoyed, isn't he?
Yes, he
I
is.
I can tell.
Dude, he's so...
Yep.
Hold on. Let me kill us Wendigo, and then we get back to the show. Carry
on my wayward son. Don't miss Supernatural The Crossroads every week on Rain Man Digital. Go to SupernaturalTheCrossroads.com for more information.
Did you know that Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service? That's right. Besides the weekly free broadcasts, Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service. And when you pledge to our Patreon page, you automatically become a subscriber. So it's easy. The premium service includes video content plus additional exclusive shows like Star Trek From the Holodeck, Comic Book Chaos, DC on CW bonus shows. Supernatural, The Crossroads, and more. So head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/Rain Man Digital and sign up today.
Yeah, and we started shooting video, so you're going to see a lot more behind-the-scenes video of our pretty faces.
You get to see us being weird.
Yeah, because they really are weird. You don't want to miss out on that. So go ahead and sign up and get all kinds of bonus content.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL30. That's DEAL30 at AdamandEve.com.
when I'm not plotting to kill Barry Allen, I'm listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, we are back. Let's get into Supergirl Season 3, Episode 11, Fort Roz, directed by Gregory Smith, written by Gabriel Yanas and Annie Muskie-Goldwyn. Okay, so...
Are names getting easier, or just because we've seen them so many times now? They're friends.
I mean, I think it's because we've seen them so much. I'm used to the names. Mm-hmm. But also, names weren't that hard to begin with. Other hosts are just bad at reading comprehension.
I resemble that remark.
You resemble or resent?
Whatever.
Both.
That was a really bad time to try and not prove a point, Bob. That was bad. All right, so let's start things off with Alex getting her wish and getting a kid for the weekend anyway, or for the day, or whatever the hell it was. As Sam needs to go on a business trip. But who's babysitting who? It starts off like pretty normal, kind of a normal dynamic between Alex and like an aunt sort of, I don't know, like role, and Ruby just being the kid. And then all of a sudden Alex gets a text from Maggie out of nowhere. We haven't heard Maggie's name in a while, even just talked about on the show.
Probably what, 6-7 weeks of shows easy?
Yeah.
Except maybe the crossover when she was getting...
Right, when she had to talk about it, yeah. But other than that, I mean, we haven't heard anything about Maggie. And Alex immediately sort of shut down when she got that text. Not entirely, she just kind of like... She got down at least. You know, she was really not feeling so hot after that. And Ruby could tell immediately and offered to, you know, hey, let me do that while you're like, here's your phone. You go deal with that. I'll go do what you were getting up to do. Ruby super looks up to Alex. Like a lot.
It's so cute.
Like a lot, a lot. She looks up to her like a big sister or like the cool aunt or something like that, you know? So Ruby kind of pries a little bit and she's like, is that your girlfriend? No, ex-fiance. And she pries into the breakup a little bit. Alex explains and talks about how sad she is, blah, blah, blah. And they talk about, you know, no, Maggie doesn't even want to see me. She just wants to know if I can mail her her passport, which is rough.
That's a dick move.
Well, it's got to be worse.
Is it? I mean, I don't know.
It's got to be worse.
I just hate those.
Because she's like stuck in her house, like broken leg.
Yeah. You know,
a lot of downtime.
Like, too much. Mm-hmm. Too much downtime for sure. Definitely getting stir crazy. I would. Okay. So Ruby takes Alex's hand and she says that she's got something to confess. She's like, I got to tell you something. And I thought she was going to say that she was gay. I thought she was going to say that she likes girls.
I was 100% with you.
That's like that. That was the lead up. I was like, oh, my God.
I'm like, are they making so she's gay now, too? That's all I was thinking. I was like,
I was going to be disappointed if that was the case, only because I didn't want to feel like the only way that this kid could bond with Alex, or the only reason that she felt some sort of bond with Alex, was because she's also into girls. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want that to be what people thought or what it felt like. So I'm glad that I'm not glad the kid was getting cyberbullied.
You're like, I'm glad
it was just bullies.
Yeah. Either way you went with that, it was going to sound horrible. It's like, I'm glad she was just bullied. I'm glad she wasn't coming out as gay. It's just like, it's both horrible, like sounding.
But no, but honestly, I'm glad that because it's true. Like I don't want it to come across like, oh, yeah, gays have to stick together. You know what I mean? Like that kind of cheapens things when that's the focus of it, because Alex being gay was part of a storyline. It was part of an arc. It was part of character development for her. But now at this point, it's whatever. It's just a part of her character. That's it. It's just a fact about her and moving on. It doesn't define her personality. It doesn't define how she acts, who she is. It just happens to be a fact about her. And I like that that's where we're at with it. And I would kind of like it to stay like that, because that's, you know, all of my gay friends, that's not like a defining part of their identity. I mean, like, yeah, it's something that makes them unique and different from people that are straight. But at the same time, that's like, there's so much more about them than just, oh, I'm gay. So I didn't want them to fall into that trope here on the show. I'm glad that it was something different.
Me too. Because I was in the same boat. I was like, she's coming out. Nicole, did you think that was happening or did you not?
Nope, I went towards the bullying. I was like, oh yeah, she's about to be bullied. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was like, she's coming out for sure. Like, and I'm like, and I'm going to be so disappointed.
Either that or, you know, I'm not a virgin anymore. That would have been awkward.
Oh, God. What? I didn't think we were going to go. Yeah, dude, what? She's like 13.
Do you know how young kids are starting that now?
Yeah, but still, I don't think they should glorify that on a show.
By the way, Bob.
No.
You don't want to know.
27.
Yes. Yeah, it's 27.
I just had sex for the first time last year then. Wee!
Same. Totally.
Good for you. Good for you both for waiting. You were pure.
Pure?
Hey.
Hey. It can happen.
I mean, yeah, whatever. Hey, listen, kids. No matter what age you are, you're still okay.
She probably confessed, like, it was either bullying or, I really like this guy or girl or whatever. Like, I have a crush and I don't want to tell my mom or some teenagery thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, instead, it was cyberbully. And the girl was a real piece of work. Real little bitch. I freaking love what Alex did. I love it. Like 100%, because she really is a government agent. For her to show up on that kid's doorstep and be like, hi, so actually this is harassment. And a couple of these actually break a couple criminal statutes. So,
yeah, I loved it.
And like, so, I mean, if you had that power, would you do something like that, Nicole?
Totally. Absolutely.
What about you, Bob?
I totally would. I'd be too many
little shit kids in this world.
Oh, I would abuse that all the time. We'd be like, FBI, gonna steal these Fritos. National security.
I was talking about bullying and teaching kids lessons, but okay, that too.
Yeah.
Well. Again, I've always said I couldn't have superpowers because I'd be the worst superhero
You're
ever.
A dick. Honestly, though, like I would totally do the same thing. And to morally rationalize it, you're actually helping that kid out too, because she's realizing without actually getting into real trouble that there are consequences to her actions and to her words. And hopefully that means that girl can be a little less of a giant twat and be a better human being and realize that, yeah, I mean, your words and your actions affect other people and can affect you when it comes back to bite you in the ass, because shit has consequences. You can say whatever you want in this country, but don't expect that there won't be any consequences if you say something horrible or threatening. So I would totally.
Good to have friends.
I would totally do what Alex did. I loved it. And then, like, her playing it off, like, having Ruby holding the crutches and just sitting there like, yeah, close the door. Good girl. Like,
I was just dying.
I know. I was like, you don't want to hobble away. You don't want to seem weak. You got to stay strong.
But the way she said it, yeah, close the door.
Yeah, go ahead. Close it.
Go ahead.
And it ended
See what I'll do.
It also ended perfect when they're walking away. She's like, three houses down, this chick in kindergarten.
Right.
She's like, don't push it.
Yeah, it was perfect. Because she's not going to go talk to like everyone. But this girl was seriously harassing. And it could have gotten physical with Ruby, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It was
a cool little storyline to have without really having to do with like the main storyline, I guess.
Yeah, it was cute. It was fun. It wrapped up quickly.
It could potentially be foreshadowing for later.
Maybe. But it also gave us something for those characters to do that was, you know, clean and quick and, you know, wrapped up with a little bow and moving on. And
cute.
Yeah. Yes. Just
and not annoying.
And not annoying. It was funny. It was endearing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's talk about the star that Bobby can't visit because he's got that stupid Y chromosome.
Barely.
Barely. It's got a little bit of like a... A little bit of a limb coming out with a...
Like a lowercase y.
It's a lowercase y.
Oh, God. All right. Well, so they found Fort Roz not where it's supposed to be. Yeah. weird.
Just conveniently.
Hey, by the way, guys.
You try not to like nitpick stuff, you know, as we break down these shows. But then it was just like, wait, it's been gone for a while. And now all of a sudden you just got to be like, yeah, just hanging out on the star. Like,
yeah.
Wait, there's people on it? No worries ever?
No, never? Just, okay, never. All right, cool.
All right, this is where we're going. It's in the script. Let's just go.
So, with that being said, they go to Fort Roz to find Jinda Paul Roz. And I mean, yeah, it's... I don't know if there's supposed to be a tie to any character in the actual comics. But if anyone didn't know, the woman that played Jinda Paul Roz, her name is Sarah Douglas, and she was Ursa from Superman 2, second Superman movie.
Oh.
Did not catch that. I'm usually good about that.
Hey-o.
Hey.
Yeah. I gotta say, she did a great fucking job. She was so good.
Yeah. It turned out a lot better than I expected. Like, I wasn't sure going in how much I was going to like what they were doing.
Like, almost overqualified for CW shows. Like, that's how good she was. I'm saying almost because, you know, everyone on Supergirl's been pretty good. But yeah. A resounding yes from me, Sarah Douglas. But so we've got two issues with this whole assignment that they've got. First of all, there's no yellow sun. So Kara doesn't have her powers, which means she's just a regular human type lass. And then no Y chromosomes allowed. No boys allowed. So
an all girls club.
Yeah. So no Martian Manhunter. No Mono.
OK, so let me ask. So we're just assuming all aliens have that chromosome in them.
I guess.
You're right. But that's, once again, that's a comic thing that, like, you can nitpick, but, like, I don't know.
I just, like, I expected Brainiac to be able to go.
Okay, but at the same time, he is part organic, and, like, that organic is human. And he does have that Y chromosome because he is part human. Like, physically, he's, like, outward appearance, he's human, and that organic matter is
so
human.
So physically, he has a wiener.
So physically, he probably has a ween. But I mean, you know, that's another thing that you kind of gotta just accept and move on.
Yeah, no, I know. It's one of those things that I have to shut that part of my brain off. You know, it's like, oh, that's not real, but I believe in psychic powered.
Right. Like, there's all these alien races, but like, oh, but they definitely couldn't have a Y chromosome because they probably have to have an entirely different DNA makeup. And, but the alien race can totally exist, and that's definitely plausible.
If I sound like that, shoot me now.
Suspend your disbelief. I don't know.
Me too.
So Supergirl needs to find a new team. We are really limited on what help she can have there. She's got, because it has to be people that can keep up with her in combat. And Alex is down and out for the count. And honestly, Alex seems like she's the best of the best of the female soldiers at the DEO. So if you can't have her, like, there's no point in endangering some of the lower soldiers.
Red
you know?
Shirts.
Yeah.
Red shirts, yeah.
So we've got, you get to team up with your exes next. So Saturn Girl is joining the team for this one. And then did you guys question, like, who the hell else is she going to bring? Is it just going to be her and Saturn Girl? Like, I didn't think that they were going to go the route that they went. And I was trying to, like, rack my brain for who the fuck else could go with her.
Yeah, I honestly thought it was going to be like a, like, sisterhood solo mission.
Yeah,
I thought so too.
And let's awkwardly talk about this guy that we've both been with.
Just like 5 minutes of them flying and like not talking to each other.
Oh,
let's awkwardly talk about that.
Monel's got this weird mole in this. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
So weird. Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, then they go the route of grabbing villains who aren't so bad.
I guess.
Livewire. Livewire just looked freaking miserable at that diner and stuff. Like, Jesus.
However, she has the personality that anyone in customer service wishes they could have.
Outwardly, yeah.
Yeah.
She's saying,
she is everyone's, like, inner voice.
She's
the first email you type before you delete it.
Yeah.
The internal response you have
before you actually start typing. Yes. That's just her.
And yeah.
I love that. Because it made me laugh.
Definitely.
My friend goes, she looked like Courtney Love if she never met Kurt Cobain. That's what she would be.
Oh, God. I don't know, man. Should we talk about Livewire's whole like reason for joining in and stuff like that? Reason for taking down Rain or trying to anyway? Like,
yeah.
This episode was a little weird with Livewire because she started off like Supergirl, meh, like you won't have your powers and you're going to invite me along. I think that was the first moment where she was just like, someone has trust in me. What the fuck? This is weird. That was like the first step of her kind of getting whittled down and shedding that evil shell of hers. But you know, in the fight, she sticks up for Supergirl and the others and like tells Rain that she's not going to like, let you like kill my friends and blah, blah, blah. Like what?
Yeah. And you know, earlier she had talked about like, I really think she was working a real job because her friends were dying. Like Rain was going around to the criminals.
What do you mean?
I don't think Livewire was as clean as they made it sound.
Oh, probably not.
I think she was afraid of Rain.
Pointed that out. Yeah. Her girl was like, you're only doing this because you're hiding.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. I don't know. Like all of this was, it was interesting with Livewire for sure. Yeah. But I mean, you know, she kind of just joined in because she didn't have a choice and then softened up and it was strange. I did not remember who Psy was at first. So let's move on to Psy.
I'm glad I'm like, oh, they're bringing her out. I'm like, oh, who? Okay. Who? Like, should I be excited? I don't know who that is. Like, I
totally forgot. I knew I recognized her face, but I couldn't pin it. Yeah. I had no idea who they were like bringing out at that point. Which is bad. I feel like we should remember.
Yeah.
That episode was so long ago and Rain happened.
It was a while ago. Yeah, for sure. I don't even remember when did that happen? When was Psy?
It would have been it was last year.
Oh yeah. Totally.
It was season two?
Yeah. Cause I only after they like let her out of her like psychic power dampener or whatever, did I remember who she was, because she was the one that got in Supergirl's head and then like the crane operator had the snake wrapped around him and like
she, well yeah, I mean I remember all that,
but yeah no,
and that, she even that, defeated Martian Manhunter. Yeah. No, it was season three, it was this season, it was just the first half.
I'll oh, look yeah, it up.
Girl of Steel and Triggers were the first episodes that she was in.
Really?
Yep.
Never mind.
Okay, wasn't that long ago.
Let's see.
But still, I didn't.
October 9th was, it was the premiere. It was the premiere. And Kara couldn't. Oh boy. We are professionals. Yeah, it was the premiere of this season. And it was, she just took everything out of them. And that's when Kara was super like, I can't freaking do this. I can't do this.
Yeah.
Who the hell am I? Like, if Supergirl fails, what do I have to offer? Nothing.
Right. We were too focused on, like, but Mon-El at the time. And then Rain came into the picture and we've been focused on Rain.
Yeah. Honestly, it's, yeah. Rain has been, Rain's been entirely distracting from everything else. And not in a bad way. It's just, you know.
I thought it was. I really was like, oh, it was a season and a half ago.
God,
they
no.
They went and dug out whoever. I was like, ugh.
Had like a break.
No, she was in the first and second episode.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So, I, you know what? I got to look up the actress because I cannot remember why I know her face beyond this, but that's not important right now, I guess. So, let's talk about how not thrilled everyone was that Kara was choosing Psy to come with, especially Hank. Jean is not happy about this. He is really, really worried because she's been wearing a psychic dampener and she can overpower Kara. She can overpower John. She has an incredibly powerful mind. So she's a really big risk to take on this endeavor, way more so than Livewire. Livewire has pretty strong capabilities and powers, but at the same time, it's... You can kind of counteract that or avoid that in some way, but there's not a lot you can do to stop a psychic when you take that psychic dampener off.
Can't keep them out of your head?
Yeah. So that's...
No one was excited about that.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, I was questioning Kara's judgment when it came to trusting them. I mean, and they know that she doesn't have her powers on this star.
Yeah, yeah, so she's definitely at a disadvantage now.
Yeah.
So I definitely agree with their whole thing.
It's very concerning, especially when she was admitting that to Livewire. I was like, you could pretend. But I guess her being honest with them and upfront maybe would garner a little more trust from them rather than her not saying anything and then Rain showing up and them getting into a fight or something like that. And then the villains going, so you weren't going to tell us that you didn't have your powers? Great. This is a perfect chance. You know, then they feel like there's some sort of betrayal there.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, with that, let's talk quickly about Black Lightning. We've got a new DC on CW Presents coming up.
Yep.
If you liked the CW's premiere of Black Lightning, the crew behind DC on CW will discuss and analyze the plot, the pilot episode next week as part of our Patreon exclusive broadcast, DC on CW Presents. Join Bobby and Mike for a special discussion all about the new DC series. Head over to patreon.com/rainmandigital and subscribe to the podcast here, and you'll receive this plus hours and hours of additional content.
And I think we're going to make Black Lightning might be a Patreon exclusive show.
Ooh, boy.
It is actually very, very good. And so we're thinking about adding it to the podcast here. We're going to see how it works out. It seems to be very popular amongst our like followers and stuff. So
how was the second episode?
It was held right up there again. Just as good.
I would have finished it, but we couldn't last night. But yeah, we're actually enjoying it.
Yeah, no, it's a lot grittier, a lot darker than any of the CW shows for, you know, the Arrowverse. So.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me a little bit of like the Marvel shows on Netflix with how dark that gets.
Yeah.
So, kind of liked it.
Wow. All right. Well, let's jump right back into Fort Roz talk. Our ragtag crew of ladies gets into Fort Roz and nothing is working out like it should at all. Livewire was the source of a lot of this episode's humor. She's gotten a little less cheesy and a little more like just, fuck it. Just laid back and snarky. And I like it. I'm actually a little sad that she's gone after this episode because she was so much better this time around. Not that she was horrible before. It's just there was an improvement here for sure. I liked where the character got to. She's just kind of given up. She's like, screw it. Whatever.
Yeah, definitely. The total fuck it attitude.
Nothing's getting her riled up anymore, which is something that was pretty prevalent with her character before. Anything would set her off. She was just like, what did you say to me? But now she's like, yeah, okay. All right. You're an idiot. Moving on.
I like it.
I like...
I was digging it.
Yeah, I like how she refers to Saturn Girl, saying that she's like the real housewife or whatever.
Yeah.
Good little cracks there. Then her response to finding out that Mon-El is Supergirl's ex and is married to Saturn Girl, and now Supergirl has to work with Saturn Girl, and Saturn Girl looks like a perfect fucking Stepford wife model, beautiful angel lady. Oh, God. Her being like, do you hate her with every fiber of your being? Same. Like, absolutely same. Mm-hmm. That would be my initial response. Like, oh, shit.
She's way too perfect.
Way too perfect. Way too pretty. She's sweet, too. Like, God. And Supergirl just cringing and being like, Not her fault.
Give me something they hate.
It's nobody's fault. Just, ugh. She wishes she could hate something. Kara totally does, you know? And if I were her, I would too. I feel like in that situation, if they're not hateable, you're going to wish you could find something to hate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
You're like, oh, just fuck this up. Just, oh, cool. Oh, she can't fly a ship.
See? Yeah. Ah. Yeah. What a stupid bitch.
How are you going to be with a chick that can't fly a ship, Mon-El?
Yeah, Mon-El. Yeah. All right. And then she's also surprised that Supergirl won't kill Rain. And I got to say, she makes a compelling point. She says someone as evil as Rain deserves to die. Well, that's
yep.
Not that I'm necessarily on board, because I know, you know, I know what the other part of Rain is, and that's Sam. And I know she's got a daughter, and I know Sam's a good person who wants to do good things in this world.
Yeah, but we're on this side of the TV.
But we're on this side of the TV. And thinking about it objectively, without knowing what's underneath that mask, she makes a compelling point, because the loss of one person is a lot less than the loss of hundreds or thousands or millions of lives. But at the same time, Supergirl believes that everyone can be saved. And she proves that point with Livewire, at least. We'll see how it pans out with Rain, but that's a hard decision to make. And I don't know if I could make that decision. I don't know about you guys. Yeah, see?
Yeah. I think it'd be one of those things, like, I would do it. Like, I would kill her for the good of humans.
It's hard.
I mean, again, we're on this side where we know. But could you see the moment where she's like, I'm going to do it, and she takes the mask off and figures out it's like one of her besties?
Yeah, right? That's going to crush her if she like kills her, you know? That'd be rough.
Yeah, I think that changed, though, after this episode. If there was any like, oh, maybe I should just do it, I think that changed after the glimpse she saw on the ship.
Yeah. If there was ever a chance, it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially now that we're going to start, I think she's going to figure out who Rain is.
Between her and Alex, like the very...
I think Alex might figure it out and then tell Kara or something. Like there's... I don't know.
They won't tell anybody. We know how these shows go.
Shut up.
I've known for weeks.
No. Rain is too powerful. Alex has a better sense of morality and responsibility and ethics than that.
She hasn't fallen into the Arrowverse.
No, I mean, she might keep personal secrets, but she wouldn't keep something like, oh, shit, Sam's a world killer. She's the one who's been murdering people. She wouldn't keep that to herself.
She's just sitting there like they're doing like their little like chick lunch, and she's just sitting there staring at her like, holy shit.
Just staring each other down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So Kara finally gets to Jinda after like a whole bunch of weird hallucinating sort of weird moments or
bogs and
weird like banshees and all sorts of weird shit. Crap and Livewire almost dying on her own. Jesus. So she finally gets to Jinda and she says, uncertainty will be your doom, not a green stone. And honestly, that seems about right. It seems like it's not going to be kryptonite that's going to be her downfall. It's going to be uncertainty of what to do, uncertainty of who Rain is or what is the right path or how justice should be served or anything like that.
Should I kill? Question mark.
Yeah. I firmly believe that that's a really big foreshadowing thing for the rest of the season and the struggles that we see her go through. Both within her own personal, you know, self versus Supergirl struggle and with how she handles the Rain situation.
Mm.
She also says the others will awake the power, the pestilence, the purity, which we referenced earlier. And purity just awoken. It's been a day, guys. I don't know. Awakened. She has awakened the purity. But that was cool. I mean, it was nice to see that and think.
We hadn't had the speech from the big bad or anything to kind of predict the future. The foreshadowing speech.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we get our look at, you know, the new world killer. And then Rain shows up and Jinda thinks that she is vindicated. I can finally get off this godforsaken ship. Take me with you. Let's dole out justice upon the land. Let's kill some bitches. but nope. Rain kills her instead. She turns around all smug to Kara and she just gets laser eyes through the friggin' chest. I saw that coming a mile away.
Yeah.
100%.
Because there was no way that she's not like the Emperor here.
Yeah.
She's Rain, not controlling Rain.
Yeah. Rain doesn't care. Like she even said, like, hey, you failed. So
peace.
Later. Yeah. I don't have time for failures.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
And yeah, laser eyes.
So obviously fighting starts. Kara, she makes a mention of how Kara looks so weak and scared, like a little child without her powers. And they start fighting. Livewire jumps in and Livewire becomes, is she the actual first character on the show to die, to actually die?
I could not think of another character that actually
other than villains
died.
Yeah, other than villains.
Like a good,
because villains have died.
Semi good character dying.
And Livewire is a villain, but
is that anti-villain?
She wasn't a villain during this episode.
Yeah.
I think she's the first like loss on a team that we've had.
There's been nobody else.
Because there's been other people that have died for sure. Other villains. But we haven't had a death on the team in this show yet. And she was only on the team for a day, but you know, still. We'll honor it. But do you think there was a reason for her to die? Was there any, I don't know, was it just to get Kara to be upset and trigger other things?
Do you want to know honestly what I thought when she died?
Yep.
What fucking DC project are they putting Livewire in?
Oh my god.
Just because it just seems like when these deaths come out of the blue or people disappear for no reason, we'll find out that Livewire will be in this. And that, that's you true. Know, the Arrowverse couldn't use her anymore. Like, there's no, like, again, I'm not, there's no confirmation to anything I'm saying, but the way that our universe has been treated by the movie universe or just the DC, big DC in general, that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Or could it be, you know, having or helping Kara to realize that there is good in people, and Livewire was an example of that. And then she sees the whole thing with Rain. So maybe that helps to like affirm her belief that there is good
in people. I can change people.
I can change people. Yeah.
And see, that's what I'm thinking.
So a little bit of a small catalyst like that.
I'm thinking that she was a martyr for Kara's mission. You know what I mean? To really solidify to Kara that her idea of being able to save people and bring out the good in them, whether they're overtaken by darkness, you know, there's good in there and she can find it and bring that out of them and remind them that they don't have to be bad. They can choose to do something better with themselves.
It's always the choice, right?
Yeah. So I honestly think that it was a catalyst for that, like a martyr for that, you know, to really make her think and dwell on that and go, yeah, I did that. Because now, from now on, no one can say that Livewire did anything bad from here on out. Like, you can, there's never going to be a question of, oh, well, Livewire went bad again. You know what I mean? Because Livewire ended on a solid positive note. She decided to sacrifice herself for Kara, who was her enemy up until that day. And Kara got through to her. So I think that's honestly what it was. It was a plot device. And Livewire was the easy way out. Because what is she going to do later? You know what I mean? Like, she's not a huge villain for her in this show anyway.
No.
She's not a necessity. And who knows? Maybe she's not even dead.
I was stuck in the electricity in the walls.
Whee! In Fort Roz or in the ship. I don't know. In any event, Sai gets Saturn Girl to take her psychic dampener off so she can go join the fight. And she shows up and she's able to knock Rain on her ass with her psychic abilities. And she's able to make Rain sees some shit in her mind, and the vision that she sees is a sobbing Ruby saying, "Mom, don't let them take me. Mom, no, please help me. Don't let them take me." So, yeah, I mean, that's like her biggest fear, and that's part of Sai's ability. So Sam gets back in control for a second, and I was almost hoping that Sam would take off the mask or something.
They tease that so well.
But the second hears the name Rain, as soon as Kara says Rain, she snaps back into Rain mode. Yeah. I thought it was going to be the reveal of who Rain was. And I was like, oh my God, it's happening.
I got so excited about it. And I was like,
I wasn't expecting this. I'm not prepared. I'm underdressed.
So soon.
What a twist. I'm underdressed for the occasion. So do you think Sai knows what people are seeing? Because I think she does. I think she sees into their minds, right?
I don't know. I was questioning that.
I can't remember.
Or whatever she was doing was just triggering.
Yeah. I don't know.
But wouldn't she have... Well...
Because she said, let's see what's in your head or something. Let's see what's in your mind or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. I don't remember if she can see into their minds.
Of course you don't remember. We didn't remember she was on the first two shows of the season.
So I was hoping I'd be able to remember what she made Kara see. It was the dying planet. Or being stuck in space.
Oh, God. In the solitude. Pod. That really cool pod scene.
Yeah.
Where it's like shot first person.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Such a good scene. See, how did we forget about this episode?
Listen, it's been a long... How long's it been?
We went through Christmas. Okay, fine. The holidays happen, you know.
It's been a long however many months it's been. Yes. It's been like 4 months or something. But, okay, so... that being said, you know, maybe Sai will be the key to finding out who Rain is, but I feel like she would have said something if she could have seen it. But then again, she's still a villain. Maybe she
and
didn't.
She also
maybe she kept
know
it to herself.
The hell Sam or Ruby are.
Right. Maybe she thought it was, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Maybe she just, I don't know. I feel like she would have shared, like, hey, I saw a sobbing kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe Sai will be the key. Maybe she won't.
I mean, that'd be a cool way.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how else. And then they could use Ruby to unlock or control
or like
her.
For some reason, have Ruby at the DEO. And
yeah, to break whatever spell.
Or they could even, I don't know.
Or they could even have Ruby like safe and protected and have Jean pretend to be Ruby. Jean's transformed into a little girl before, guys. Lest we forget.
So weird.
Remember when he transformed into a little girl and was like a spectator at like when Supergirl got taken over and they were trying to figure out how to stop her?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when she was like destroying the city and he was like trying to blend in, so he transformed into a little girl? Wasn't that the thing that happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm not going crazy. Perfect. So all right. So yeah, I mean that could be a thing. We'll see. There's so many opportunities and different possibilities.
But for a character that we didn't understand or didn't remember, it was like, oh, I could see this being like a key thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because also, why bring Sai back? They could have just done it with the three of them.
Exactly.
Well,
maybe.
Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know. There's so much speculation. All right. So let's talk that final Mon-El and Kara talk and Awkward City for just a moment. It was just... if I were her, I don't know if I'd be that okay yet. I wouldn't want to talk to heart, you know?
At the end of every mission, do you have to walk up and talk to me?
You have to do this. Dude, just fucking go talk to your... Go catch up with your wife about the mission.
One that they couldn't fly the ship right.
But, I mean, he does make a solid point, and he says that, you know, hey, listen, I'm a hell of a lot wiser than the guy who landed here a year ago. And that's fair because he's lived a lot more years now. It's like 7 more. So, you know, they talk about how Kara changed Livewire's heart, which we spoke about already. And
plot device.
Yeah,
I think that just confirmed it.
Right yeah, there. It was a plot device. I think that's totally spot on. But he does give her better advice this time, and they talk about how Kara thinks she can get to the humanity in Rain. So this Livewire's death had to be just like a trigger, you know, a catalyst for Kara to build upon and to have faith in herself that she can get through to people. Because that honestly is Kara's biggest strength. It's not her actual super strength. It's not her icy breath or her laser eyes. It is her ability to read people, to, you know, when she's really looking to, you know, to see them for what they are and who they are and for the good that is in them and try and reach them on a personal, emotional level. Kara is a great empathetic negotiator and I don't know. She has good tactics and good sense in that way. And that's not something that all superheroes can say. You know, some of them are kind of just worth their strength or their superpower.
Yeah. And I mean, they kind of showed that last week. Remember, she couldn't get out until, mm-hmm. you know, the glasses and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the human side of her that makes her her.
Yeah. So honestly, I think that's going to be a lot of what we see with Rain. And that's a normal struggle for Supergirl, is trying to reason with some of the big bads. But some of them, she just kind of has known that they're not going to change their ways. But she saw something in Rain, and that something is Sam. And we have heard this episode that Sam is struggling inside of Rain, whether she realizes it or not, because she's not in control. She doesn't have any memories of when Rain is awake and controlling the body. But it sounds like Sam is really fighting the good fight inside of her own body to kind of knock the balance off and knock Rain out of control when she is in control.
And she's finally reaching out to someone for help because of her blackouts.
Yeah. And well, because now this was a serious one. They had a car waiting for her. They had a plane that she was supposed to get on. She had a whole business trip and a business meeting. She's been missing Lena's calls.
And there was like 20 of them on that phone.
Yeah, boy.
She's in some serious shit next time she goes in the office.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think honestly, Lena's going to be pretty empathetic if she goes in and says, there's something wrong with me. I think I need to take a leave of absence. Like, Lena,
can walk in there with a pee cup. Where the hell did you go over all weekend? Pee in this cup.
Yeah, right?
Can't be in charge of my corporation if you're on drugs and blacked out all weekend.
Were you at Burning Man? Where have you been? Yeah, so I don't know, guys. The episode itself seemed like it was a lot of setup. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But it seemed like it was a lot of setup for where the season's going.
Yeah.
And furthering relationships between characters and stuff like that. I'm excited that we're now seeing Sam go, I don't know what's happening. I think there's something wrong with me. And we're going to see a lot of that going on with them trying to figure that out and keep it a little under wraps probably at first. And then it's going to come to a huge, weird thing with Rain and Sam's struggle, and whether she finds out after a while or whether she just suspects it for a while, or we'll see what happens. I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to this. I've enjoyed this arc a lot, and I imagine that I'm going to enjoy the rest of the season just as much, if not more. So with that, final thoughts on this episode, Nicole?
I mean, you voiced a lot of them already just now. You always do.
I'm sorry.
I'm really, really excited about Rain and Sam's whole side of thing and how that's going to come to a head. And really interested to see what's going to happen with these world killers. We got a peek at Purity waking up. I honestly thought the other girl with her might have been one of the other ones, but I guess not.
You're just hanging around in the club.
I know. I was like, dormant, so is this the other two you mentioned or whatever? But I was really excited about that. I can't wait to see what happens with that. And like, maybe, you know, if Sam finds out what she is, like, how is that going to affect it? Is it going to end up being like world killer versus world killer? That'd be amazing.
Only a world killer can kill a world killer.
Well, hey! Yes. Yeah. First of all, that. And secondly, I think we're going to see a weird struggle with Sam once she does find out, because even when she knows, she's still not in control of Rain. Yeah. So we're going to see a weird power
training
struggle.
Montage.
We're going to see some weird struggle with her trying to gain control over that identity and that side of her and those powers. And I think maybe she might even tell there's got to be, Supergirl's got to find out, you know, like Kara's got to find out. Lena's probably got to find out. And does that mean that Supergirl's friends are going to find out her identity this season?
It's just a whole exposure of everybody.
Seriously.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Sam's Rain. Kara's Supergirl. Oh, shit.
Alex is just Alex. Alex doesn't actually work for the FBI.
Alex is now a mom. Alex just gets the bottle out and starts drinking.
Alex is a lesbian. Oh, we covered that last season? Okay.
Well.
Hank's a Martian.
Fuck, yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, do they call him Jean in front of everyone now, or do they still call him Hank?
I don't remember.
Like, in front of, like,
I'll
Lena?
I'll have to pay attention.
Oh, God. All right, well.
That's one more thing to pay attention to.
Bob, any more final thoughts?
No, I got nothing else to add.
All right, I think I
wasn't allowed on this star.
Yeah, right? Your stupid white chromosome.
Yeah.
All right, with that, let's wrap things up. That's going to be it for today's DC on CW Supergirl Edition. You can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through our Rain Man Digital app, and be sure to follow us on our social media. We've got Twitter at DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW, and our Instagram is at DC_on_CW. And we will catch you next time.
How did you do that?
I'm Supergirl.
You're who now?